Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of July, 2016. 100 years ago today, 100 years long ago, so many men laid down their lives, most of them from right here in Newfoundland, the Royal Newfoundland Regiment in Beaumont Hamel. It was 100 years ago, 30 minutes wiped out almost 700 men. 30 minutes, an absolute slaughter, one of the worst in military history. And today, 100 years later, we enjoy the freedom they so willingly laid down their lives to protect. And I know there's a lot of people out there who think it's so cool to make light of the fact that these men sacrificed 100 years ago. Well, let me tell you something. You know what's badass? Being told to climb out of the trenches, being told to leave the trenches knowing full well you're going to get mowed down. They were given the call. They left the trenches. 700 of their brothers fell right next to them, injured or dead. That, my friend, is really badass. And here on the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, we remember the fallen. Here's the reality. 100 years ago, all these men are gone. Whoever's left, they're gone too, more than likely. If they aren't, they definitely deserve to be in the Guinness Book of World Records because they're over 100 years old. Pretty sure they didn't serve when they were in diapers. Let's face facts. Without these men who gave their lives in Beaumont Hamel that day, it would have been a different story. Newfoundland was forever changed by that. Forever changed. And it is definitely a big part of our history. So you know what? We remember them today on the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. I know I started the podcast off on a heavy note, but you know what? I just can't help it. I know 700 men laid down their lives for me. Question is, what are you going to do with the future they ensured, huh? What are you going to do with that future? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do the things you love. And something I love to do is this podcast, the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Yeah. Today is also a very special day for me. So not only is it the 100th anniversary of the Beaumont Hamel Massacre, we'll call it, or the Battle of Beaumont Hamel, it's also Canada Day here in the good old Canada. And yes, I am a Canadian citizen, so I'll be partaking and enjoying a few wobbly pops this Friday, I'm sure. But one thing I'm going to say is, it's just so very important that we realize there's more going on around us. Just know that you are a part of history and that you're very, very special. And you're very special to me because you know what? Today is the 2-year anniversary of the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Yeah, I've been on the air now for 2 years, interviewing people from all around the world, talking about what I love most, which is the paranormal. You know, I started this journey as a paranormal investigator, and I found podcasting was almost therapeutic because I had a chance to reach out to people who may have opinions and maybe a little bit more like-minded to me when it comes to the world of esoterica. So here I am, 2 years later. I want to thank every guest that's ever been on my show. I really do. I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. We've got a great guest tonight, Bill Oberst Jr. Oh, man. This guy's an actor. He actually is best known for his role as Abraham Lincoln in Abraham Lincoln versus the Zombies. But you know what? It's such a great interview because we didn't hardly talk about movies at all. We could care less. And in fact, off air, he actually said, you know, it was very refreshing to do an interview with you, John, that wasn't so focused on my film work, because, you know, at the end of the day, that is my job. What I love is portraying different things. And we had a little chat there, and we just got really, really deep into his childhood and stuff. And I'm telling you, that man has a great paranormal story to tell. You guys should stick around for that. Okay, for sure. So happy Canada Day. Let's remember our fallen soldiers who sacrificed their lives in Beaumont Hamel. And let's just revel in the idea that 2 years have gone by and I still manage to keep this podcast going once a month, the first of every month. You probably heard the new commercial at the top of the show. Just letting everybody know, guess what? This show is a monthly episodic show. That means that if you're not subscribed to this podcast, I'm going to be honest with you. Life is going to get in the way and you're going to forget about me. And I don't take any offense by that. I really don't. I know that you're busy, just like I'm busy. Someday maybe I'll have more time to dedicate to this and do a weekly show, or maybe even a bi-weekly show. Who knows? But I'm going to say this to you. If you're a fan of my show, the best thing for you to do to keep yourself informed is to subscribe on whatever you're on. Doesn't matter. Stitcher, iTunes, I mean, TuneIn Radio, everyone, you can subscribe to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. And when you do that, you'll get a notification when the next show goes up. That is the best thing you can do. It truly is, because then you never miss a show. Think about how hard it is to keep people entertained constantly with my shows. Yes, they're great shows. I put a lot of effort into it, but guess what? Here's the reality. 4 weeks are going to go by before you hear my next episode. And within those 4 weeks, a lot's going to happen to you. You might lose your job. You might have a kid. You might start seeing somebody new. You could be sick. You can get in a car accident. Oh my God. All kinds of crazy things can happen. And you know what? I understand that I'm not the most important thing in your life. So what do? We make things easy on ourselves. We subscribe. How about that for a spiel? Okay. Man, great show. You're going to love this show. You're going to love Bill O'Bourse Jr. But first, we got to bring you guys the paranormal news. Well, 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 I am 100% skeptical of ghost pictures, okay? And I talk to people about this many, many times. I am not a fan of ghost photography, even though when I go out and do the whole paranormal investigation thing, I take lots of pictures, but mostly it's of my setups and gear. Only recently have I started taking 3 pictures of one thing at a time, trying to debunk my own paranormal data, so to speak. But, you know, sometimes in the news, things come up that are just so convincing. My God. And I'm telling you, this picture, it absolutely blew my mind. This was the quintessential ghost picture, because I know that back when this picture was taken, they never had the technology they have today. So this is just crazy. A ghostly hand, just the hand, turns up in a 116-year-old photo. Now, the photographs taken of workers at a linen mill over a century ago appears to contain an unexpected extra. The picture has been placed online as part of a historical gallery on the Belfast Live website when one internet user wrote in to reveal that there was something amiss with the photo. Great to see an old photo of my granny in the gone by years. This photo is great when she worked at the mill. Just lovely, she wrote. She was Ellen Donnelly, and she is fourth on the right in the second row. My dad has this photo at home, a family ghost picture. I don't really believe in ghosts, but there have been a few odd goings on around this photo, so I hope this doesn't cause any more goings on. Did anyone spot the mysterious hand on the girl on the right shoulder? Sure enough, the second girl down on the right of the picture appears to have someone's hand placed upon her right shoulder, despite the fact that the girl behind her has her arms folded. Is it a ghost? Nobody knows. However, it's certainly creepy and does seem to defy explanation. I mean, this disembodied hand, it's probably one of the weirdest things I've ever seen with ghost photography, okay? It's strange. It's weird. You guys have got to go check it out, okay? Check it out online. Look it up. Look up ghost hand and picture. I'm sure it's going to pop up. Like, we're talking Thing from the Addams Family is in this picture, man. Like, da-da-da-da. You got to check this out. Totally worth the look. And then there's pictures that aren't really totally worth the look, because you know what? I'm sorry. Chances are, if something goes viral, it's because it looks different. But here it is. We got totally duped. I know this one was a little while ago. It was a few days back, but the Kraken satellite photo goes viral online, was a big headline all over Facebook. So there's this picture. It looks like a big sea monster, just crazy all over. It's everywhere, absolutely everywhere. A photograph showing what some claim to be a gigantic sea creature has been circulating the internet. The photograph, which originated on satellite mapping service Google Earth, shows what looks like a large 75-foot squid-like creature off the coast of Deception Island near Antarctica. Hailed as evidence of the legendary Kraken of Norse mythology, the image soon went viral and has since ended up being featured on dozens of tabloids and news sites across the world. But does the image really show a gigantic sea creature, or is there something else going on in it? According to Andrew David Thaler of Southern Fried Science, what the image actually shows is sail rock, a well-documented outcropping of stone which protrudes 100 feet above the surface of the sea. Sure enough, the coordinates do match, and a photograph of the rock from sea level reveals that it actually does look like it could be mistaken for an octopus-like creature when viewed from above. You can check the location yourself by visiting 63 degrees 256.73 south, 60 degrees 5732.38 west on Google. If you didn't get that, that's okay. I'm sure if you looked on Google, just Google, not Google Maps or Google Earth, I'm sure you could probably find this picture online. Boy, does it ever look strange, but unfortunately, we have to be the wet blanket. Get that, because it's in the ocean. Wet blanket. We have to be the wet blanket that totally smothered the Kraken and let you know that this ain't real. There you go. Oh, boy. Oh. I hate to solve that mystery so quick, but you know what? There's another one going on, and this one is very real and very strange, and it's just weird, so I'm going to start talking about it now, because there's this mystery surrounding Muscatine men in black. It isn't clear who these men in black are or what they are doing, but they're popping up everywhere. These mysterious individuals dressed in black have been reported standing at the side of roadways in Iowa. Sightings of the strange figures, which have been reported by multiple witnesses over the last few weeks, seem to be centered around Muscatine County in the southeastern corner of the state. One man described seeing some weirdo walking down the paved road in a black trench coat, while another described how her son had been left petrified following a similar encounter. The report suggests that these men in black are typically sighted standing at the side of the road, but have been known to walk out into oncoming traffic on some occasions. The Muscatine County Sheriff's Office has since put out a notice telling people to dial 911 if they happen to come across anyone acting suspiciously. We have had several reports of men dressed in black entering the roadway in rural Muscatine County, a spokeswoman wrote in the office's Facebook page. Who these individuals are and what they are doing, however, continues to remain a mystery. You know, I tell you, my opinion, I think it's just people pulling a prank. But man, how unsettling would it be to drive past a road in the middle of nowhere like Iowa? Yeah. Think of like all the roads and that show The Walking Dead. Everything is empty for miles. There's nothing. That's what the roads are like in Iowa and a lot of these rural places where this is going on. And let me tell you, it would be very unsettling to drive there, say, like dusk and see someone standing there, fully black garb, fully blacked everything, blacked out hood, blacked out eyes, blacked out it all. Oh my God, how creepy would that be? Ugh. Oh man. Someone's got to step in from safety though, because one of these guys are going to get hit. Like, put a bit of reflective tape on this kid before he gets turned into like a creepy little pancake on the side of the road. Oh my. Yeah, I got a question for you. You know what? It's been 2 years and we've never talked about the King. Thank you very much. I have a question for you. Do you think Elvis Presley is still alive? I mean, to me, that is like the most ridiculous thing ever. I truly believe somebody as rich and as famous as Elvis, even if he was to fake his own death, we would have found him by now, right? Well, what if I told you some new footage has surfaced that has got a lot of people talking? A video of a familiar-looking groundsman at Graceland has sparked rumors that the King is not dead. Ever since his death in 1977, the suggestion that the legendary rock and roll icon Elvis Presley is still alive and has remained one of the most popular conspiracy theories of all time. Several people claim to have sighted him over the years, while others have suggested that he might have faked his own death to quietly live out the rest of his days away from the spotlight. Now, new footage has emerged on YouTube of an elderly groundsman working at Graceland, of all places, who happens to bear more than a passing resemblance to how Elvis might look if he were alive today. He raises his two fingers to the top of his left head as proof of life signal. The video description states, he told us he is alive and a simple V sign, I'm alive. He is giving us a clue that he knows we are all watching him and to his most loyal fans that he is indeed with us. When you look at a walking gait, long arms, it's him 100%. As he approaches, he looks at the camera. As he walks away, he glances at the camera. The video has sparked some fierce debate online, and while the claim remains highly dubious, it is certainly not impossible that the king himself, who would be 81 if he were still alive, did fake his own death back in the 1970s and has been living out his life in secret ever since. Now, I'm just going to throw this out here to you. Like, if I'm Elvis Presley, and I am actually going to make this big conspiracy thing just happen, get the wheels of the conspiracy, like, shined up, guys, because I'm jumping out, and I'm going to start pedaling, like, 69 miles an hour. I don't know why I said 69. It's the first number that came to my head. Please forgive me. I haven't slept much lately. Here it comes. Oh, my God. If I am going to try my best to hide myself away from prying eyes, if I truly want to be out of the spotlight, my God, I am not going to hang out where I used to work. Graceland? He pretty much hanging back at his house. Elvis Presley died, but we have this guard that looks just like him. So technically, he's paying himself to keep the rose bushes look pretty? Oh my. What can I say? This whole possible Elvis sighting has got me riled up. It would be really, really cool. It would probably be electric. And, you know, it might even be magnetic. And if it is magnetic, what if I told you there's a pretty good chance that you might be able to sense it? Human magnetic sixth sense has been discovered. A researcher in the United States believes he has found evidence of a magnetic sixth sense in humans. Joe Kersevink from the California Institute of Technology maintains that he has found repeatable and verifiable evidence that humans are able to sense magnetic fields. Building on an earlier study which indicated these same abilities in other animals, Kersevink carried out a trial involving a small group of 24 volunteers. Now, they were asked to sit inside a Faraday cage, which is a special enclosure which blocks electromagnetic interference. For the experiment, the participants were exposed to a magnetic field while Kersevink analyzed electrical activity of their brains using electrophysiological monitoring system. While his findings have yet to be peer-reviewed, he believes that the ability to detect magnetic fields stems from special magnetic receptor cells which act as compass needles. Further research is expected to be carried out in the near future to corroborate his results. Talk about having a magnetic personality. Man, I would love that. That'd be so cool. You know, there's a lot of practical uses for that. First off, we wouldn't need GPS anymore because we'd know exactly where to go. Just send me off in a general direction. I'll find it. So there's your news for this very special anniversary edition of the Odd and Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. We got a ghostly hand that's showing up in a weird picture from over 100 years ago. You guys got to check that out. We have a fake Kraken that kind of cracks me up because the more I look at it, the more I see a rock. We have the mystery surrounding the Muscatine Men in Black. Not the kind of Men in Black like Will Smith, you know, and Tommy Lee Jones. Not those guys. No. These guys are just pranksters who are hanging out in rural Iowa. Oh, my God. Just weird. We have the story about the king. Yeah. Elvis Presley. Could he still be alive? And, of course, we also talked just now about the human magnetic sixth sense. If you ask me, I'm very, very attracted to this because every single one of these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
All right, guys, welcome back again. We're going to jump right into oddities, but first, it's time to check in with a very special anniversary edition, MUFON Minute, with our good friend, Laura Gilbert. Laura, take it away.
Thanks, John, and a very special congratulations on your 2-year podcasting anniversary, or podversary. Welcome to your MUFON Minute for July 2016. Do you want $10,000? Well, Kevin Randall, a UFO researcher, offered the hefty reward for some very special detective work. In the now-famous photo from the Roswell 1947 crash, which shows General Roger Ramey crouched over debris, he can be seen holding a piece of paper in his hand. It is believed that the truth behind the debris, whether it be weather balloon or downed craft, can actually be found in that very memo. Some work has been done by David Rudiak, who feels that he can make out some of the words, including, "and the victims of the wreck," and "in the disc they will ship." Is this proof of a cover-up, or the optimistic interpretations of an enthusiast? Regardless, if you have some serious photoshopping skills, it may be a great opportunity for you to check it out. The Alien Cosmic Expo will be taking place June the 24th to the 26th in Brantford, Ontario. Many Canadian MUFON investigators and volunteers will be taking part in this very special event. Big names like Stanton Freeman, Paul Hillier, and Nick Pope are all confirmed speakers. Most notably at this expo will be Canada's very first public hearing on UFOs. This interesting discussion will be moderated by Richard Surrett and will focus on ET disclosure and NORAD evidence. I'm looking forward to seeing what press comes out of this very special Canadian meeting. And a little sci-fi news for those who may be interested. As a longtime lover of the classic film Independence Day, I am very happy to report that Independence Day Resurgence opens June the 23rd. This next chapter in the epic saga brings back fan favorites Jeff Goldblum as David Levinson and Bill Pullman as President Thomas Whitmore. The tagline reads, "We had 20 years to prepare, so did they." I saw the film last night, and boy oh boy, is it worth checking out. The ships, the technology, the aliens, whew, I thoroughly enjoyed it. In light of the atrocities that have plagued our world of late, upcoming Canada Day, the 100th anniversary of Beaumont Hamel, and the U.S. 4th of July, I will leave you with a very powerful quote from the classic 1996 film. "Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day." For more information about MUFON in Newfoundland and Labrador, be sure to check out newfoundblog.wordpress.com. Thanks, John.
Thank God. It's time for oddities.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
I want to believe.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
All right, guys, it's time for Oddities, 10 unreal facts that are actually true about an unreal world. Yeah, Oddities is probably one of my more, shall we say, favorite parts of the show. I just love the whole show, but you know what? Oddities are really awesome because they're strange, they're weird, they're true, and it's kind of educational. Yeah, I said it. Educational. You know, the opposite of me drinking every Friday night by myself. Did you know? The 57 on the Heinz ketchup bottle represents the number of pickle types the company once had. So get it out of your head. They don't have 57 kinds of ketchup or 57 different flavors of condiments. It's actually 57 different types of pickles. Did you know Americans are responsible for about one-fifth of the world's garbage annually? Well, I suppose they are, man. Think about it. My God, that's a lot of pickle jars. Giraffes and rats can last longer without water than camels. That's pretty interesting. Your stomach produces a new layer of mucus every 2 weeks so that it doesn't digest itself. What's eating you? Did you know 98% of all murders and rapes are by a close family member or friend of the victim? You keep that in mind. I mean, if a close family member or victim can inflict that kind of suffering upon you, imagine what some weirdo on Tinder might do. A B-25 bomber crashed into the 79th floor of the Empire State Building on July 28, 1945. Now, I wonder, was King Kong alive back then? The Declaration of Independence was written on hemp. Yeah, you know what hemp is, right? Marijuana paper. I mean, it only makes sense. Let everybody live free, man. No woman, no pain. Do you know what the dot over the letter I is actually called? It's called a tittle. A tittle. Do you know what ZIP or zip and zip code means? It actually means zoning improvement plan. There you go. Something brand new just for you. And this is probably the weirdest one. I always heard this rumor, but I had no idea this was actually true. I can't believe this. So here it goes. Way back between the years 1885 and 1903, Coca-Cola contained coca, whose active ingredient is bum, 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 cocaine. So there you go. Oh my God. I want you to think about that for just 1 second. Think about it. People used to drink coke. They used to drink it. And it had coke in it. That's crazy. What kind of gateway drug was, oh my God, does that mean coke was like a gateway drug to alcohol? I'm so confused because you want to have mix for your rum. And you know what? I'm overthinking this stuff. There's your oddities. There's your anniversary oddities. I'll be right back after these messages. I'll be back to once with Bill Oberst. Don't you dare go away.
The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast does not accept donations. In lieu of this, the Stella Burry Foundation is a registered charity established in 2005 to secure financial support for the work of Stella's Circle. Learn more and please give generously at stellaburry.ca. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast. Tonight's guest is an Emmy Award-winning actor known for playing dark, conflicted characters on the screen. It might take me the entire interview to tell you all the parts he has had done and actually been a part of over the years, but I'll just name a few. He's been seen in many, many movies. Familiar, of course, to me the most would be Abraham Lincoln versus the Zombies, where he played the title role, of course, of Abraham Lincoln. He's also been in many TV episodes and shows. He's had TV accolades and has been a part of A Thousand Ways to Die, one of my favorite shows on TV, and of course, Criminal Minds. Shout out to my mom right now. She loves that show. But his acting chops are not really the only reason why I wanted him on the podcast for my second year anniversary on the Odd to Newfoundland. I shot this guy meshes because his roles are just plain odd. I can see a love for the weird in his work, and I'm thrilled to have him here. My guest tonight is Bill Oberst Jr. Bill, welcome to the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.
John, happy anniversary. And I'm only going to make one film plug, but it's because it's also an odd role. It just came out. It's a movie with Armand DeSante and I in the lead, and it's called Stressed to Kill, and I play a guy who has high blood pressure and multiple stresses in his life, and the things that stress him out most are irritating and rude people, and so he starts killing them discreetly, and his blood pressure goes way down, and so then he's in a real quandary, because what's he going to do? It's another odd kind of a role, and it's out now, if people want to check it out.
Oh my God, that was like a metaphor for my life right now, with my 3-month-old screaming all the time. I could totally relate to that character, Bill. I really can.
Having a scream constantly in your head, yeah, that does things to you. But you're a dad. You can deal with it.
I know. I've been to war before, Bill. I've been to war before.
Okay.
Bill, I thought I would treat this interview like a psychologist interview. You know, I want you to tell me about your childhood. You know, tell me about your younger days and what it was like to live in one of the most haunted places in America. Quote, that's your own quote, by the way. Tell me all about it. Where are you from, Bill?
Yeah, it's true. It's no bullshit. It's a little town on the coast of South Carolina called Georgetown, South Carolina. And those who know American history will know that South Carolina was the instigator of the American Civil War. So the place that I lived was the richest county in the nation before the Civil War and the poorest county afterwards. Consequently, there was no money to tear down the old structures after the Civil War. So I grew up with derelicts, wrecks, and ruins all around me of these old houses. Moss-covered ruins with wild thickets of oaks, graveyards that should have been moved or displaced but weren't. So the past was very much around me. CBS News did a story on us in the late 80s calling us the most haunted community in America. And for years there was a tour of all of the haunted sites here. So I grew up with people who, you know, took it for granted that the unseen world was all around us.
Yeah, and to me, like, that is just, wow. I can agree 100%. You know, it's so trendy nowadays to be an atheist. It really is. And it's kind of like the new it crowd to say, you know, there is no spiritual side of anything anymore. But, you know, there's always us out there who are fighting the good fight, so to speak. And I truly am a believer in paranormal activity. You know, you mentioned sightings and stories from your own hometown. Are there any that really stick out in your head that kind of, shall we say, take you back? Like, what was probably one of your favorite, more known stories from that area?
I think that probably the most well-known story from our area is a specter called the Gray Man. I say specter, phantom, apparition, but this is a visual manifestation. That's the words I was looking for. Mark Twain said the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between a lightning bug and lightning. So I wouldn't get the right word, but it was a visual manifestation that was seen from the early 1700s right up until Hurricane Hugo, the last big storm we had in 89. And it's a visual manifestation of a man in gray clothing who stands in the mist between the water and the shore and points. And it's seen right before major storms. And the reason I find it so interesting is because it goes back so far. It's so well documented and it's been seen by people who are still alive. This last time, very reputable people, church people. You know, in the South, you can't get any more reputable than a church person. and I'm out in Hollywood in L.A., and I tell people this, and they're like, oh, cool. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. For these people to say that they saw something means they really saw something. So the specter is known as the Gray Man, and there's no one has any idea who or what or why this thing is, or why it manifests itself as a man in gray before major storms.
Bill, I had this dream of mine, and I've been doing this for 2 years now, and I just have this dream where someday I'll just come into money somehow. I don't know how it's going to happen, but let's, you know, buy my lotto ticket now, and I'm going to travel the world and get to visit all the people who've been on my podcast, and I would love to take you ghost hunting sometime and go look for the Gray Man. I think that'd be so cool.
Dude, we have got the sites here. There's still many, many old buildings here that, you can feel the chill when you walk in. And yeah, it's ghost city. I've come back from LA to this area for the summer. I'm spending the summer here. I've been in LA straight for 7.5 years and I couldn't stand anymore. So before I go back out there this fall, I just wanted to spend some time, and I was just walking on the beach this morning thinking about the Gray Man.
Awesome.
The past is really not past in places like this.
Mm-hmm. It is but a veil. Do you think that history might be repeating itself there, Bill, or?
It's a thin veil, man. It's a really thin veil. You know, a lot of thin veil. Margaret Thatcher said the veil of civilization is extremely thin. I think she's right. And the veil between our world and the unseen world is for people who find these things frightening, it's frighteningly thin. And for those of us who are intrigued by it, it's wonderfully thin.
You know, it seems so funny to me just a little while ago. You know, they kind of gave up looking for the Higgs boson. And now they're looking for dimensions of space. They're literally trying to make Doctor Who a real thing now.
And isn't it interesting how entertainment drives, you know, I'm a big Trek guy, and our visions in entertainment drive then what we look for in science often.
You know, I can't mention Doctor Who without mentioning my friend Steve Lake. And speaking of Steve, he had you on the show a little while ago, The Whostorian. A little shout out to Steve right there. Steve, of course, is a dear friend of mine and the editor to my book, Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. So just a little shout out to Steve there. If you're a Who fan, check him out. And of course, Bill, his interview's on there as well. Now, as an actor, you've seen the lines of the paranormal and horror genre kind of blurred together, much to the delight of people and fans around the world. But have you ever had a paranormal experience yourself, though, Bill?
Yes, I have. And it was in a theater. I was a theater actor for 16 years on the East Coast before I came out to L.A. I've been there 7.5 years doing film and TV. And in a theater where we had enacted a play which was called Ghost of the Coast. And it was about these local ghost stories. And this was back in the late 80s. It was very, very strong. I mean, we were packed with tourists every night, sold out. And we reenacted these stories. Well, we had a guy who reenacted what we used to call a buzzard doctor, a person who practiced sort of backwoods voodoo back in the early part of the century. And we had a guy who had researched and was using these actual words. We had things like, you know, a black chicken foot that he was swinging back and forth. over a simulated grave, which was just, you know, a bunch of dirt that we had put on the floor, but, and we had shells and the right. In other words, we were doing a lot of the things that were supposed to have broken through the veil. And after doing this play for a couple of weeks, one night afterwards, when we were closing up, a couple of the cast members and I, we started to feel cold spots. And then we started to hear things. And back behind the stage, we had some curtains hanging. They were nothing but sheets that were behind the flats. And they started to bulge out as if someone behind them were pressing. I'm getting a chill as I'm telling you.
Yeah, I am too, man. I love this.
And
this is awesome.
I walked up on stage to where the sheets were and put my hand out on the sheet, and something pressed back.
Wow.
And I'll never forget that night. And I don't know what was there, but whatever it was strong. And I don't know if it was evil or if it were just something from the other side of the veil or just exactly. But I had the strong sense that what we had done in some way had broken through that veil, and that we were experiencing some of the same things that people in the past did when belief in this stuff was stronger.
And, you know, so many things come from that spiritualist movement. You know, I can name two things off the top of my head right away. Ouija board. I mean, a lot of things came from that time. And you always wonder, you know, how much of it was showmanship and how much of it was real. And let me tell you, as an EVP researcher, I'm the kind of guy who likes to go to cemeteries and record the voices of the dead. That is my thing to do.
Really?
I will say, yeah, that's what I do in my spare time. I write books about it. That's my hobby. I will say this. There is definitely something to paranormal phenomena. There's definitely something to it. It's documented. The problem is we don't have the, shall we say, correct toe, theory of everything. When we're getting into physics a little bit here, that really kind of, shall we say, explains away what all this stuff is. Right now, science kind of throws out paranormal phenomena. It's just mistakes made by our crazy brains to make sense of a nonsensical world. What I'll say to you, though, Bill, is how do you make sense of paranormal phenomena? I kind of want you to weigh in on some topics, and I'm just going to kind of throw them at you randomly for a bit of fun here, and you tell me what your thoughts are. Let's talk just completely random. Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, the Mountain Man. What is your feeling about Bigfoot?
My feeling about Bigfoot is that it doesn't exist as an actual creature, and it's heartbreaking to me to say that because I've got a lot of books on Bigfoot, and I really, really wanted it to exist. But I believe that it does exist as some sort of a, this is going to sound really crazy, but some sort of a mass manifestation, maybe from another world, from another dimension. There's something there. There's something, but I don't think that it's a anthropomorphic creature that we could find waste and droppings from.
What if I told you that I don't think that's that crazy? In fact, in my book, I talk a little tiny bit about a paranormal phenomena, EVP, electronic voice phenomena, as an emergent phenomena. What that means, it actually comes from somewhere else and winds up in our dimension of space. So maybe
I want you to send me a link to your book, if you would, because this is, both of these subjects really fascinate me.
Bill, I'll do better than that.
As a kid, I used to lay down on graves to see if I could hear anything.
Bill, I'll do better than that, my friend. I'll send you a copy. Don't you worry.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is already getting awesome. But one thing I do believe in is that veil. You keep saying veil, just like we're throwing it out there. It's so funny.
Yes.
Reality is there's actually signatures in some of the EVP I've captured that would actually show, hey, there's something going on here that's emergent, as in a loud popping noise. And many other investigators and researchers out there agree that this could very well be that veil opening and closing. It almost sounds like a little tiny crack of a whip, which would make sense, right? So there's all kinds of weird stuff going on with EVP, and I got no problem. I'll send you that. Let's weigh in on something else. You know, you're on your way in August, I believe, to Newfoundland, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. I'm coming there for the Avalon Expo, yeah. And I'm going to do my Ray Bradbury presentation, Pillar of Fire, about the last dead man on Earth.
Oh, and once again, very strange role. Bill, you definitely picked the weird ones, but you know what? That's what's entertaining to me. I'll say
I don't want to do anything that doesn't ask questions, because what's the point?
Yeah. Well, geez. Okay, there's my quote that's going on my Facebook wall next week. Well, Bill, what if I told you that Newfoundland is home to the very first ever true cryptid? And what I mean by that is that something that was talked about in fishing lore for thousands of years. The Kraken actually washed up on the shores of Newfoundland. We're the ones who actually found the giant squid. We have its first carcass. So be sure to check that. Yeah, man, that's real. The giant squid's been proven to be real now. In fact, they had a documentary not too long ago where they finally got this thing on film, but such an interesting thing that the Kraken actually exists in Newfoundland. But there's also other things, shall we say, out in the water. When I think of the more popular river monsters, shall we say, I think of Ogopogo, Loch Ness. What's your opinion on those?
That there's something real there. Because there's too much photographic evidence. I try to be objective. And again, I have books and books on all of this stuff. For Bigfoot, there's not enough actual physical evidence that there's an animal. But for Nessie, I believe there is. A lot of the others I have not. But I think there's something there. What do you think?
I tell you what, it's very simple to me. The land is where Bigfoot supposedly is from. We have populated most of the land. Very, very, very little parts of the world are still unexplored. It's very hard to think that we would have not seen it, at least with a drone by now. Okay. Yes. But the oceans are still well over 75% unexplored. We don't know where these animals could be hiding, and we discover more species in the ocean every year than anywhere else. So my bet's on a sea monster to be real as opposed to one that might be walking on land.
Ray Bradbury's story, The Foghorn, the old man tells the young lighthouse keeper before the monster appears, he says, "Think of it, Johnny. It's still the year 20,000 before Christ down there." and that's an amazing way to put it.
The best part of that was the accent you just put on. It was awesome.
Oh, thanks, man. I love that story. I love Bradbury because Bradbury was a very solid Midwestern guy. He was described himself as a lapsed Baptist. Mm-hmm. So he shared a lot of my values, but he from that bedrock Midwestern good decent standpoint, he could stand there and then ask questions and imagine that things that usually an ordinary hard work in Midwestern American is not supposed to think about. In other words, for me, he epitomized, like, okay, in LA, John, the people who think about and talk about the things we're talking about, they're flighty people. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
They're not what I would call grounded.
Mm-hmm.
They're people who, if they've got one of these opinions, they've got a million, and they believe in everything, and everything's spirit, everything's flighty, and everything. So they're so out there that nothing gets taken seriously. But a guy like you sound like you are Bradbury, like these solid, hardworking people, when they start saying this stuff is real, that's what I think draws attention.
Ah, and you know, that's one of the reasons why a lot of paranormal investigators don't want me on their team, because I came into paranormal investigating as an atheist. I am no longer now. I'm more of a theist now these days. But I will say this, there's something to the phenomena, and it's awesome to have an objective point of view. It's important.
Yeah, and I come at this as a follower of Jesus. Christian is accurate, but you know, that's such a tainted word.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Jesuit were not already taken, because Jesus is what it's all about. But in his teachings, there are many, many metaphors. There's the veil of the temple, which tore at the end. And he speaks as if there's an unseen world right there. He speaks to the unseen world many, many times. So I don't have any problem with standing in my faith tradition and also being able to say that there are more things in heaven and earth that are dreamed of in our tiny, tiny philosophy.
Expect a dozen roses from my father for saying that, because he's been waiting 2 years for someone to say that on my podcast. Trust me.
It's the truth. Jesus is everything to me, and I believe that what John said was correct, is that he was there at the foundation of the world. But you think about the creation of matter. The creation of matter, John, that's the basis of everything. That's very mysterious stuff. I don't care how much we learn and how much we break it down, we will never be able to put it into a theory of everything, which I think is wonderful.
If we had it all figured out, wouldn't it be boring? And I'll leave you one better, and this is the one that always gets me. We supposedly came from something infinitely small and infinitely dense that exploded. Correct?
Yes.
We supposedly came. Well, where in the time of creation were forces created by an explosion? You know, the four fundamental forces, you know, gravity.
Yeah, yeah.
those forces were created by an explosion. And how many Big Bangs were there? Only one, right?
One.
So guess what? The scientific method is then defeated because it has to be repeatable and predictable. So in a way, the scientific method proves the existence of, shall we say, an educated creator. I use the analogy of 1,000 clocks beat to pieces with a hammer, smashed to 1,000,000 pieces, thrown into the air, and then suddenly they all go back together. There, ladies and gentlemen, is your universe and how everything works.
I'll go with educated creator. I think that certainly makes sense, and that's in keeping. And, you know, the church did a, and I say the church, I mean the only church at the time was the Catholic Church. They did a horrible, horrible, horrible disservice to Jesus and to Christianity by treating the early scientists the way that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's a rift that maybe will never be repaired, but I think those of us who believe that there can be both an educated creator and white noise that includes voices of the dead should speak out about it and not be ashamed to speak out about it.
That's true, too. And it's very easy to get yourself back into a corner, especially when you're dealing with the public. And to have a strong opinion sometimes takes more courage. And let me tell you, I've always admired people who are in the spotlight, such as yourself. I mean, when I turn off this microphone, people don't recognize my face. But you, my friend, have a very recognizable face to a lot of people. So when you speak out on these subjects and you talk about your love for Jesus, I think it's very important that people listen. And whether or not they believe what you believe, they should have, at least have the respect to let you believe. That, my friend, is called tolerance, and I think it's desperately needed.
Yeah, I think you're right. And this is an age where it's very trendy not to have any beliefs or to believe that everything is relative. And as you say, that there is really nothing but ourselves and our orgasms, and that's the end of it. That's the end of the world, and that's everything. And so I think it's good to encourage young people particularly to investigate and to have strong opinions. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Now, of course, we must look in the past a little bit. When I say names like these are some of my heroes, Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi,
yeah.
I can name many actors from the past who portrayed signature creatures and monsters. Is there one character who is rooted in the paranormal that you would love to play? You know what?
Yes, lycanthropy has always fascinated me. That would be the Wolfman, and I think one of the best. The original Wolfman was great, but I also really, really love Hammer Films, the Oliver Reed version of the werewolf.
Uh-huh.
The white silverback werewolf. I like it, and I like the story. Yeah, because changelings, you know, stories of changelings, were creatures. Those are pervasive, man. They're in all cultures, and they go way, way, way back to ancient times. I got a book by a guy named Montague Summers. It was a little bit nuts, but he was also a genius. And he wrote books investigating these topics back in the 1920s and was castigated for it. But he talks about these ancient traditions going back so far. And people have psychologically rationalized it by saying, well, that just means that there's an animal within man. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, there's so many of these stories and these traditions, and it's every kind of animal. So a were-something I would be very interested in playing.
Well, I would love to see you as a werewolf, Bill. And I think it'd be very interesting just to see the makeup, what they could do with you. And, you know, you definitely have a signature look there. There's no doubt.
It's... I've done a couple of werewolf movies and didn't get to actually play the werewolf. They had a guy in the suit. But they're so unimaginative in the way that they treat the creature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think American Werewolf in London did a really good job.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about just the effects, but in the whole, you know, where he wakes up in the zoo.
Yeah.
What it would really be like to have that sort of a dual nature. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on werewolves, but I do love them.
Now, listen, we haven't talked very much about werewolves here on the Odd Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, so why not? Now, you are on your way to Newfoundland, and let me tell you, I've got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is everyone here in Newfoundland is awesome. You're going to have a great time. But the bad news is it's just as haunted as your hometown. We're the oldest city in North America. There's all kinds of weird haunted places. Please get yourself to Cape Spear, Newfoundland. That's important. The most easterly point in Canada. And guess what? It's haunted. Very, very much so.
I can't wait to come, and I've already been told to go to Petty Harbor and have the salted fish. And I've been told about the U-boat that was found at the bottom of the lake.
Oh, yes.
So I'm really looking forward to doing this story there. You know, this story is, it's drawn me. I don't know if there's any sort of a text that's like, ever since you were a kid, it's just stuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
This story by Bradbury, ever since I was a boy, I have been fascinated by it, and I don't know why, but I'm absolutely delighted to be able to perform it. It means something to me, and I don't even know what it means. But speaking the words, it's like I'm connecting with something else. Do you have any texts that's like that for you?
Oh, man, I got a couple, but let me tell you, I liked books about conflict. And just recently finished reading for the fourth time a book called, the name is slipping my mind now, War of the World Views by Derek Milodno and Deepak Chopra.
Interesting.
That book is my internal monologue on paper. It's a scientist and a person from the spiritual side of things, and they're debating all the issues, everything, how the world came to be, physics, they're debating spirituality, they're debating afterlife, pre-life, all that. They talk about everything. And that, to me, that book speaks to me because it's literally my inner dialogue on paper.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that to me, that's probably
wonderful that you have an inner dialogue and that you're willing to say that you do. Because again, in this Facebook world, you know, if you say you have an inner dialogue, you're crazy.
Oh, yeah. You're crazy if the only thing you don't care about is how many likes you get on your Facebook page. You're insane to want to move from your couch and do anything other than play Candy Crush. I mean,
I hate Candy Crush.
Listen, after level 325, Bill, I gave up. I quit. I said no more. But you know, I always want to reach out to people such as yourself because it's inspirational to others. I know that there's somebody right now who's going through a really hard time. They got a set of headphones on their ears and they're listening to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast because it's not dark and gloomy. It's fun. And maybe they're doing the dishes like I do when I listen to podcasts, or maybe they're doing something mundane. And I just want those people to know that, man, oh man, we love you to death. Thanks for listening to us tonight. It's awesome.
Absolutely. And I want to tell, if any young person's listening and thinks they're weird, I want to tell you that you're listening to the voice of a guy who, when I was a kid, I sent off to the U.S. Geological Survey. And in those days, you had to actually use stamps and write, you know. So I'm this, like, 10-year-old writing to the U.S. Geological Survey because I wanted magnetic maps of my area, because I had read that UFOs often were seen in areas of high magnetic concentration. And then I'm looking at these maps figuring, oh, crap, none of them are close enough for me to ride my bike to. So then I've got to ask my grandmother if she would take me to these places and let's just sit out there for a while and hope that something happens. So you're not weird.
Makes me feel so much better about going to cemeteries and trying to talk to dead people. Bill, you've been very, very great.
See? Where's John? He's at the cemetery. Oh, my jeez.
My friend makes the joke, you know, you'd rather hang out with the dead than hang out with your wife. What is your problem? And I always tell him it's the inner dialogue, man. I got to have things to keep me grounded. You know, Bill,
God bless your wife. If she supports you in it, God bless her, man.
She's got this thing where she doesn't... It's not that she doesn't support me in it, but she gives me a space enough to do it. And that's a different kind of support. I think that's she's not really into it, but she's like, she understands that, you know what? I need to let him have the time to go and do it. So
it's love.
Love. That to me is a lot more, shall we say, understanding than somebody who has to be a part of everything you do.
Amen.
Right. You know, in passing, of course, you know, we're reaching the end of our podcast, unfortunately. Bill, I mean, how fast did a half hour just go? Oh, my God.
I can't believe that. Wow.
I know. I had so much fun during this, man. I want to do this again sometime with you. But you know what? We got to get your name. We got to do it all because, you know what? There's a lot of people out there who maybe never heard of Bill O'Burst Jr. And, you know, you're coming to Newfoundland. So let's talk just one last time about that. Let's promote your appearance. It's going to be the Avalon X or Expo, right?
Avalon Expo, the last weekend of August, and I'll be there signing pictures and stuff like everybody else does. But what I really want people to come and see is to hear this beautiful dark poetry of Ray Bradbury in this performance of Pillar of Fire.
And hopefully I can get there, man. If I can't, you know, you got my blessing. You know what? Thank you so much, Bill, for being on my podcast. It's the second year anniversary, and I think you've been a great guest.
Thank you, man. And I wonder, everybody who's listening, thank you for supporting John in this podcast. And if you're strange, I say, thank God that you're strange. And that's good, because there ain't nothing wrong with a little bit strange. There's too much mundane in this world.
And I'll say this, there's nothing more odd than the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, John.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page. Drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular para-joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.